And good morning. Welcome to another program of Health Essentials on this beautiful Saturday morning. It's very good to be with you. Yeah, I think I like 76 degrees. If it would just stay this temperature all day long, I'd be happy. I know. I have nothing to do with the weather. You know, just about everything that I could tell you this morning, it's really completely up to you to decide if you believe it's true or not. So I'm going to read a brief article to you. It's not going to take but just maybe 30 seconds. But I've had so many calls on this, I thought I would just share this information with you. You have to decide if this is valid or not. You know how John Paul just quoted Galatians, or was that Ephesians? You are saved by grace through faith. Well, I would say that to believe a lot of what we hear, you have to have a whole lot of faith when it comes to medicine sometimes. And all I'm asking you to do is just, this is for your consideration. I want to tell you about an herb called hawthorn just for a second. Hawthorn has proven to be a safe and effective method for keeping your blood, heart, and your arteries healthy. If you look at the number one killer in America, that's going to be heart disease and everything that's kind of associated along with that. So, very interesting. It says here that hawthorn destroys potentially deadly blood clots on contact. That may be kind of hard for you to conceptualize, but don't overthink it. Look it up for yourself. It works by preventing excess platelets from building up in the arteries while releasing tension from the arterial walls. Researchers studying the benefits of hawthorn published the results in the American Journal of Health System Pharmacy. I do not have that journal, but it shows that supplementing with hawthorn could be used successfully to treat heart failure, hypertension, angina, which is chest pain, cardiac arrhythmias, while ensuring that blood remains flowing freely. Sure, that's just too simple. I can say that very easily. I could repeat the whole thing again. But listen, the only thing that matters is you want to be vibrant and radiant and healthy and strong. And if you've lost your health or you're moving the wrong direction, well, it's just as simple, folks, as deciding today that you want to go on a different course and you want to change your path and you want to turn this around. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Yes, good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I have a question. My husband in March had a heart attack and stents put in. Then 10 days later, he had a stroke. A week ago, they did a 24-hour urine protein test on him, and his protein came out at 12,000.
Yeah, he's leaking just a little bit of protein there, isn't he?
Yes, sir, he sure is. We took him to the hospital for an emergency to see exactly what to do, and now we're waiting upon a possible kidney biopsy.
Yeah.
Do you have any suggestions?
Okay, let me just go backwards and I'll give you my suggestions. When he had the heart attack and they put the stents in there, did they suggest to you that was going to take care of his health?
Pardon me?
Did they suggest to you that when they put stents in the heart arteries or the coronary arteries, that that was going to help solve his health problems?
They didn't suggest it. They said it was that it would help his heart, his health problem, that yeah. It was a beginning to help his heart.
Were you at all shocked when he had a stroke?
I was shocked when he had the stroke. But
was it an ischemic stroke or a hemorrhagic stroke?
It was an ischemic stroke.
Okay. The article that I just read to you very, very briefly from the American Journal of Health System Pharmacy showed that hawthorn is one of the greatest plant-based herbs of all time to keep your blood clean. That's for your consideration. I'll let you decide If you run that by the cardiologist, he's probably going to tell you without missing a beat that it will kill you the moment that you take it. I know that because I hear stories that everyone tells me when they come see me. So he's got a situation right here that's he's probably been spiraling downward out of control for a long time. Would you say that's probably been true?
Yes, sir. So, I will say it's probably been through.
Well,
yes,
and
sir.
Believe me, I am not trying to be critical of your husband. I'm sure I'd love him and be crazy about him. But it just is what it is. You just don't wake up one day and have your kidneys leaking massive amounts of protein. Now, I know in their playbook, they have a very, very high value for trying to name and identify and label a situation like disease. And let's just say that they have he's got severe nephritis and kidney failure. But, I mean, all these things are easy to look at. I mean, when they do a blood test, there's the acronym BUN or BUN. That stands for blood,
yes,
blood, urea, nitrogen. When that's elevated, I mean, that's a pretty good indication the kidneys aren't working right. So if you were a detective and you went back and looked at your husband's blood work over the last 2 years, you're probably going to find that his BUN's a little bit elevated, along with the creatinine, which is kind of like a filtering protein.
Yes, creatinine is at 167.
Yeah, and that's still too high, though. That's not what I would call severely high. But that's too high, and that means the blood's dirty. So if we just take the kidneys and run with them, all these markers are showing that your kidneys cannot keep up with the workload at filtering waste from the blood. And one of the things the kidneys do is they remove excess waste and protein. So eventually you're going to take the protein and form it into urea, ammonia. It forms into urine, and then you pass it out when you go to the bathroom.
Yes,
so we need to improve the kidneys. And so I want to take you on a different course of action. Number one, you can look up all these studies yourself, prove it to yourself, take them to your nephrologist. But if he were my father, I think I'd start baking soda right now. We've got to soothe the kidneys. If you asked me a question, you said, Dr. Morgan, what is the hardest thing on the kidneys of all time? I'd have to say soft drinks and sugar. There's just nothing that will beat the stuffing out of the kidneys like sugar. Sugar is so highly acidic, and your kidneys, they function so much better when they have a slightly alkaline environment to work with. It's just night and day difference. So I've seen, we can have his kidneys start to turn around, but we must care for them, and we must feed them, and we need to soothe them. And so maybe a quarter to a half a teaspoon of just plain Jane baking soda and water, drink it a couple times a day. But the things you got to do is you got to just avoid sugar like it's a black death or the plague.
Yes, sir.
Of course, he doesn't like sugar, does he?
Well, he has, to be honest, he has cut sugar almost totally out of his diet, I'll say, the past 6 months.
Good.
Yes, he is not diabetic. He's a Native American Indian, but he is not diabetic. We watch that very closely.
Well, what do his legs look like?
Well, that's the first thing we start. His legs look good. He started edema, retaining water in the groin or area, and his legs.
I mean, but what does that tell you when you start seeing edema pick up in the legs or build up? Wouldn't that be a clue?
Yes, sir.
I mean, we really don't have to wait for a physician to say, oh my goodness, there's edema in the legs. That's a sign the kidneys are struggling. So a lot of the things that I utilize day in, day out, and I know this is going to sound kind of gross, I use a lot of supplementation that require the use of kidney extracts, and they come from calf kidneys. But I'm telling you, out of all the things I've used, they play a remarkable role and helping to rebuild and strengthen the kidneys. But let me talk about the simple things that you have access to. You have access to baking soda.
Yes, sir.
Okay. What you can do is probably, if it were me, I would probably go on a more strict vegetarian-type diet for about a week or so.
All right.
I would just give him very, very low-starch vegetables, and those are going to be things like cabbage and broccoli and Brussels sprouts and asparagus and cauliflower. He probably would love you to make him a cauliflower broccoli salad today for lunch, wouldn't he?
Believe it or not, I'm doing
Well, that's what I had for supper last night, because we had some from the day before. Are you kidding?
We had last night for supper, I did him broccoli cauliflower, and I got some fresh chicken breast, and I broiled them.
You're a genius.
So now the doctor suggested I keep him on 2 milligrams of sodium a day.
Well, baking soda is called sodium bicarbonate.
But that's not the type of sodium she's concerned with, am I correct?
Well, is he taking an antidepressant medication?
Yes, sir, he is.
Because those medications are very, very famous for causing a condition called hyponatremia. That means less sodium than what you need. I tell you what, you take a full-grown adult man and you lower his sodium levels, and he's just going to sit around and do nothing all day long. He'll have no motivation, no ambition, no desire. I know what people are thinking. That could be my teenage son playing video games. Joke. But when you have sodium that's low, you just lose your strength. It's like somebody pulled the carpet out from under you.
Well, that was my first clue, because as I stated, he had his stroke in March, and I told the doctor, I said, he sleeps 16 hours a day. This isn't normal. And she said, he had a stroke. I said, I don't care. 16 hours a day of sleep for a 62-year-old man is not normal.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, the studies are pretty conclusive. When somebody sleeps 3 to 4 hours a night, they have a higher tendency toward developing Alzheimer's. And that would be, you know, one of those degenerative brain diseases. But if they sleep 13 hours plus, that's Alzheimer's also, baby. So we gotta look at it from what's normal. So, yeah, I mean, are you kidding? I'm on your team here. I agree with everything you're saying. 14
yes,
to 16, 16 and a half hours, that's way too much sleep.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, so, yeah, sodium bicarbonate. I think the safest form of salt for you to give your husband is one called Celtic or Celtic salt.
Okay.
And it looks dirty, like you're going to look at it and say, what is he recommending to us? This looks like dirt that he scraped up off the seashore. But if you will just look into it yourself, but Celtic salt is phenomenal. That I can recommend. Or if your husband wanted to eat watermelons just to kind of clean and help clean and flush the kidneys. But I use a lot of beet extracts that have been fermented because they produce an enzyme called arginase, and arginase, it's what scrubs all that gunky protein out of the kidneys, and it's just what you got to have.
Okay.
You wouldn't even believe me how many times I've seen somebody have chronic, severe pain in their legs, and when I examine them, I find out that the weak link is the kidneys. And so if we can just address any strategy to improve kidney function, then bingo, you've got more life and you've got a reduction of symptoms. So here's the simple things you can do. Magnesium, magnesium, magnesium.
All right.
Oh, my word. If you start looking up studies on kidneys not working properly, you give them magnesium and zinc, oh, boy, you may have a different ball of wax to work with here.
Okay.
So you can do the baking soda. You can probably avoid. I probably wouldn't eat chicken breast today. I know it tastes delicious, but I'd probably just focus on higher fat and low carbohydrates.
Okay.
I would do a low-protein diet just to give the kidneys a break.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a pop quiz. Does watermelon contain high amounts of protein?
I would say no, but it...
You're right.
It, very good.
What would you say the water content of watermelon is? Is that high or low?
I'm probably going to say it's close to 98%.
Yeah, you're right. Good job.
Ah, oh, my, I'm passing.
Are you kidding? Well, I knew you were a genius when I first, you know, got you on the phone. And so we've got to start to turn his chemistry around for the better, but his system is a bit weak, and we've got to do everything we can. So all the old-time doctors, they used to call your skin your third kidney. And technically, there's not a huge difference between the urine that your kidneys form and pass on to the bladder versus the sweat that comes out of your skin. I mean, haven't you ever been to the store before and seen a man walking up and down the aisle, he's got like yellow armpits and yellow around the, you know, the collar of his white T-shirt?
Yes, sir.
I was thinking that maybe I was the only one that's ever seen yellow armpits, but no. What do you think
that
looks like?
Oh, no, I've seen it, and I thought, boy, he sweats some nasty stuff.
Well, and that's one of the reasons why Anything that would help? See, I can tell you historically, men that are exposed to saunas, and so you know what a sauna is. You walk into like this little steam tent, and
yes,
you sit
sir.
There. Or for him, as a Native American Indian, what do they have? They had the sweat lodge where they would heat those rocks up super hot, and then somebody would pour water over the top of those rocks, and you'd have a teepee full of steam, right?
Yes, sir.
What tribe is he from?
He's from the Potawatomi tribe.
I have never heard of that before, but that doesn't mean anything because I haven't heard of it. Where are they from?
They were the first tribe that up along Michigan. They were the first tribe to be friendly trading and merchandising trading with the white man. And then they followed the Trail of Tears down into Oklahoma.
Oh, my goodness. But now, that's a horrible story, if you ask me, the Trail of Tears.
Oh, yes, sir.
Anyway,
yes.
But we want to give him things like fat-laden avocados. Will he eat avocados?
Yes, I give him an avocado a day.
Oh, you're doing great work. If you will just give him a break for about a week from protein, I wouldn't give him chicken breast or fish or beef or anything for about a week. I might give him a couple of eggs a day. That doesn't disturb me at all because I think we need those rich nutrients that are found in the egg yolks. See, if you want to make him worse, just give him egg whites. That'll make him worse, I can almost guarantee you. You've got to have that high-fat diet if you're going to turn this around. But he needs to sweat, so I'm trying to think, since he probably doesn't have a teepee in the backyard with hot rocks in there right now and somebody pouring water over him, then plan B is just going outside and just sitting in the sunlight. He'll start to perspire and sweat that way. And they'll take a burden off his kidneys.
Will that have any, I know, and this is something I'm sure you're going to get, no. They have him on 80 milligrams of Lasix twice a day.
Well, that's just like getting on a horse that's real tired and taking your spurs and digging in real hard to see if he'll run even though he's exhausted. Sure, the horse is going to, but the Lasix, that's just like cracking the whip on his kidneys. They're just forcing see, Lasix is going to dump a lot of electrolytes anyway. I'd probably, you say 62?
He's 62, yes, sir.
Oh, well, then he can't be my dad unless, you know, he fathered me when he was like, 9 years of age. Never mind, we don't need to talk about that. But what we want to do is we want to do this a little bit differently.
Okay.
I use a product called Carbamide instead of Lasix. That's just me. I'm not telling you what to do, but I use Carbamide all the time to flush the kidneys. It's like turning the faucet on, where they can start to drain all the poisons. But the more we can get him to sweat, the more that we can deplete his body of toxins that are stored within him. Anyway, what I was going to say is, why don't we just use either the juice of a lime or a lemon to give him rich electrolytes with a little bit of baking soda and water?
We've been listening to you from years. He takes, we do a lemon, a half a fresh lemon a day in warm water.
You know what I really want to tell you? I'm just going to go ahead and I'd have him fast for 3 days.
Fast?
Yeah, because when you fast, that's when your body completely switches gears from digesting food to pulling out all manner of debris from the body. He's not going to die if he fasts, but he's already had a heart attack. He's required 2 stents. That means he's got a lot of inflammation. There's oxidation of cholesterol. And, of course, the doctors probably say, now that you've got these stents, we need to give you, like, Lipitor. Well, that's kind of a recipe for killing the kidneys anyway.
Yes, sir. They put him on astaxanthin.
Oh, boy. I'm going to get in big trouble today, aren't I?
I'm familiar. Astaxanthin's not good. He's on Berlinta also, but it was kind of like, you don't take these, your heart's gonna clot and you're gonna die.
Well, so, I wonder if that's even a true statement or not.
Well, yeah,
I don't think that's true. But if you know what you could do today. You could just get on the website called drugs.com and type in those two medications right there and just look up the side effects and see if any of the side effects have started to creep into his life once he started taking them.
Okay. Okay.
But, I mean, he needs great precision, and that's just not the job of the radio. I wish it were. I can give him simple things to do, but he needs to not delay and turn all this around very, very quickly. He needs to be on the plains of South Dakota running like a antelope.
I agree.
I'm not saying that he could catch you from behind, but, you know, he may be motivated to. I don't know.
Well, we need to do something because
yes, you do need to change of direction. But I hope I've given you some things to think about, all right?
Oh, you have been a blessing, and I thank you. And we are going to try that. He's not going to like me because I may put him on a fast for 3 days.
Well, what I want you to do is I want you to listen to what I'm fixing to read to you. It's going to just blow your mind. Anyway, I have an article I'm going to read to you. It's earth-shattering.
All right.
Thank you. Thanks for your phone call, ma'am. I really appreciate you, and I wish your husband the very best, and God bless him.
Thank you. You've been a blessing.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. I know for a fact this is not going to be easy because I kind of read it twice myself. And I got this from Knowledge of Health. Anyway, I'm not going to read the whole article. That would take too long. But it's Bill Sardi wrote a post, and he's trying to discuss one particular mineral that the human body requires for optimal health, and that mineral is zinc. And so, where can I start with this right here? Oh, as previously stated, zinc eradicates atherosclerotic plaque. Isn't that what the lady was just discussing concerning her husband that had the heart attack, and they had to do two stents, probably because of plaque in the arteries or narrowing? All right. It turns out that George A. Eby, and his last name is spelled E-B-Y, so if it's pronounced Eby, Eby, I don't know. But he is a self-educated pharmacologist and world expert in zinc nutriture, and he may have the needed answers to some of these problems with heart disease. And you don't know this about me, but I tend to perk up when I read that there's an expert that's self-educated. I always find that very fascinating and attractive that a person has all this energy and passion to devote to trying to improve the world's understanding. So I always like self-educated people. Over a decade ago, Eby, along with Dr. Warren W. Halcombe, they're probably British, wrote a landmark paper entitled, and this is the title of their paper, and get this, High Dose Zinc to Terminate Angina Pectoris, a Review and Hypothesis for Action by ICAM Inhibition. That comes from the journal Medical Hypothesis, or Hypotheses, and that's the year 2006, so that'd be like 11 years ago, give or take. Anyway, that's the title. I mean, have you ever heard anything like that? High Dose Zinc to Terminate Angina Pectoris. Do you know what angina pectoris is, folks? That's chest pain. Why would they use the word terminate? They didn't say to slightly improve angina pectoris or to sort of reduce symptoms or to reduce the frequency or to make sure that drugs were. They said terminate. What does that word mean? That means knock the sucker out where it's no more. Anyway, Eby and Halcombe, they write that among patients with angina chest pain, there was no, and I need you to understand this point. I'm paying attention to this just like you are, or I'm trying to. Halcombe, they wrote among patients that had angina chest pain, there was no difference in blood serum concentrations of zinc or red blood cell zinc levels, or zinc from a hair analysis, whether they had accompanying atherosclerosis or not. They're saying they couldn't find a difference. But what did they find? Interesting here. This is a turning point. There was a major difference in zinc concentration in the aorta. Folks, do you know what the aorta is? That is the first major blood vessel outside the heart. That is your delivery system to blood and oxygen nutrients to all over the body. So here's what they found. There were 40.6 parts per million of zinc in a healthy aorta. That means an artery, folks, that has no issues, it's working great, it's very healthy, but they only found 19.4 parts per million of zinc in those that had major atherosclerotic aortas, or plaque, or calcium deposits. You can say that anything, any way that you want. To me, this is very fascinating. They go on, and this is going to blow your mind also. Well, it may not blow your mind. I may be, you know, embellishing a little bit. The provision of high-dose zinc that raised blood serum zinc levels from 95 micrograms per deciliter of blood to 177 micrograms, that resulted in objective improvements in 12 of 16 test subjects. E.B. and Holcomb, they wrote that the that zinc prevents oxidation or hardening of the LDL cholesterol. That's the one that every doctor on earth wants to call the bad cholesterol. And it halts the main mechanism of atherosclerosis. That's called hardening of the arteries. It says zinc also blocks calcium and its stiffening of the arteries. I can tell you what I'm going to read into this. Very, very accurate test, the calcium scoring test. It's like a CAT scan or an X-ray. It takes, what, 3 minutes to do once you get it into the device, or once they apply the technique. But it's very spot-on accurate. So if it shows you've got an excessive buildup of calcium, this might be an important article. They hypothesized that a therapeutic megadose of zinc, that was 300 milligrams a day, would induce the slow release of LDL from cardiac tissues, thus flushing it into the blood serum where it can be readily observed. Now, these are two bold dudes by even writing this, because it doesn't go along. Now, you got to follow me. Okay. In stark contrast to current practice, high-dose zinc should be considered as a basic in the strategy of prophylaxis and therapy of atherosclerotic process to terminate angina pectoris and restore youthful cardiac function. Yeah, that sounds good. E.B. and Holcomb, they assert that low-dose or poorly available zinc compounds, such as zinc oxide, they do not reduce LDL cholesterol, whereas high-dose, that's between 50 and 300 milligrams, it decreases your HDL. I know what I'm reading. I know it's different than what we've heard before. But I tell you what, when you come across information this good, I just got to do a double take. And I'm going to try to come to the table with a clean spoon. But when they give 50 milligrams of zinc a day, it increases LDL cholesterol in the blood. You got to be able to wrap your mind around this. You know what that means? Well, here, let me go on and read this. I may want to read that again to you. LDL blood levels increase with megadose zinc. Okay, this is the answer, though. The elevated LDL blood levels is due to the disposal of LDL. It's exiting the body. E.B. and Holcomb, they turned zinc research upside down, at least in regard to megadose zinc. High LDL cholesterol blood levels after zinc therapy represents the disposal of cholesterol, not excessive blood levels of cholesterol. This changes the conclusions drawn from all of the prior zinc studies. E.B. and Holcomb report of a patient with chronic angina of 15 years duration. I don't know about you, but that would be the pits to have severe chest pain for 15 years. He experienced vanishing of angina without the need for any medication. I can tell you right now, that's going to make every internist and cardiologist and general practitioner happy to know that all their patients will not require 25 different medications for the heart. They just need zinc. They're probably going to call me at the end of the program and thank me, which, Listen, I'm a humble guy. You don't have to thank me. I'm just doing my role to share information with the world. A similar result was experienced with another angina sufferer. Eby and Holcomb refer back to a report published in 1968. Oh, 1968. How old is that? Never mind. They know the administration of zinc sulfate was beneficial to patients that had inoperable, severely symptomatic atherosclerosis. That comes from the journal Trace Substances in Environmental Health, the second annual conference proceedings, 1967-1968. Anyway, Eby and Holcomb also, I can tell you what this is saying right here. If you try to improve your health and your blood cholesterol actually goes up, like if you take coconut oil, for example, with the lady caller not that long ago, what if that represents that you're pulling all the oxidized cholesterol and gunk and plaque out of your arteries and you're dumping the blood so your liver can get rid of it? What's wrong with that? Sometimes it just takes a different understanding. Eby and Holcomb also point to a 1980 study of workers industrially exposed to zinc and other minerals. Environmental exposure to zinc in mines in Poland resulted in a 40% reduction in the incidence of physical exertion angina. This comes from the journal Coronary Diseases, 1980. See there, they were in a zinc mine and there was a benefit. They could work harder with less chest pain. That's because zinc pulls oxidized cholesterol. I always think if doctors want to do what's cutting edge, and I know they do, why don't they order an oxidized cholesterol test or a calcium scoring test on every patient before they prescribe massive doses of statin drugs? Patients taking 80 milligrams of zinc a day for macular degeneration, they experienced a 27% decline in mortality. That comes from the Archives of Ophthalmology, May 2004. These investigators suggested caution when taking megadose zinc. Therapy should not extend beyond 14 days. Well, isn't that easy to do, folks? What if you just said, hey, for 1 week out of the month, I'm going to take a lot of zinc, 50 milligrams? What else did it say? Anyway, I think that's all I'll read to you right there. I just found that very interesting. So now we have a mechanism that we can explain when somebody tries to improve their health and their cholesterol goes up. That's not a bad thing, folks. What if that means you're pulling all the old oxidized cholesterol out of your heart muscle to rejuvenate it, make it young and spry again? You know, folks, you're only going to be as young as your arteries are. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. I am calling about my 26-year-old daughter who is having major problems with migraines, and she's had problems since she hit puberty, and along with insomnia. And it's affecting her work, her job, her life, and she has aura migraines, and so anyway, I was just calling to see if there's anything that you could help me with.
Well, a woman told me in the office the other day that she saw a purple aura around my head.
Okay.
And I asked her, I said, well, what does that mean? She said, you're just a very peaceful, calm person. And I thought, she don't know me very well, do she? But anyway, she said I was a trusting person. So then I tried to tell her several lies in a row to see if I could confirm. No, I'm just joking about that. Let me tell you this right here. I'm not even saying this is relevant, but when I was a much younger father, this was before I knew better. I mean, I can learn from my mistakes. I thought that I was being a good dad by taking, little girls to Chick-fil-A on a Saturday morning for father-daughter time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of those daughters developed very, very bad migraine-like headaches. And I discovered the secret ingredient in the Chick-fil-A chicken nuggets was monosodium glutamate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so these are known as excitotoxins, which means it gets your brain all revved up and inflamed and irritated.
Okay.
Now, I know this is going to be hard for the average person to comprehend, but if you have 25 very, very calm children sitting during church services, and I know that under normal circumstances, your average two-year-old loves to sit and listen to a two-hour sermon. And they sit peacefully and quietly, and they never even budge. But if somebody gives them Skittles, you know, food dyes and high fructose corn syrup, I mean, everybody
right.
knows that doesn't do anything to get those kids wound up on crack cocaine, does it?
Right.
Oh, man, you can point them at, you can tell which ones have had candy, but it's just an idea, something that generates inflammation of the brain. So the solution for us was just avoiding that. Now, I had another relative that had migraine headaches, and her solution was just completely avoiding wheat, and that
okay.
completely resolved it. So I always, that's just my mindset. If you say migraine headaches, I've got to believe that there is a trigger. I am not trying to say that's a panacea, because there's probably other issues involved. So let me tell you what I think about girls.
Okay.
I like them. And I think that girls are built differently than boys. You probably don't know that, but since I am a trained physician, I have just recently learned that girls and boys are different. But one of the keys to helping girls achieve hormone balance is addressing the liver.
Okay.
And I would say that her liver is working nonstop at keeping her blood clean and free of any toxins or any impurities. You can't expect a 5-day-old baby to eat Skittles and not have some side effects. They're a little bit, 6-pound baby, they can't detoxify all that stuff like a 140-pound woman can.
Mm-hmm.
But the liver sometimes is the key.
Okay.
I have two women this week give me their feedback, and this is what they said. They said, when I avoid all the sugar and the carbohydrates, I don't have hot flashes. And then the other lady told me, when I try to eat a little bit more fat and a little bit less sugar, I don't have hot flashes. I know that my hormones are in balance. Now, I'll just tell you how I'm wired. I believe everything they say. Why would somebody lie to me about that? They don't. They're just telling me,
right.
they're telling me exactly what's working. But I think that by avoiding the carbohydrates, you make
okay.
it much easier on the liver to do its job at balancing hormones.
Right.
But I would say this, number one. If your daughter has a hard time with insomnia,
yeah.
if she has a hard time falling asleep or staying asleep, then I've got to believe that she's eating or consuming something that's a source of tremendous irritation.
Okay.
And a doctor a long time ago said, a physician's main role is removing any obstacle to healing. And I find myself agreeing with that. And so
okay.
if we can find out what the trigger is, and so I'm not telling you how to run your business, but if she has migraine headaches, I can
mm-hmm.
tell you, if we went on a no-sugar diet, a no-wheat diet, no chemicals, no food additives like monosodium glutamate,
okay.
then what we may have in 2 weeks is we may have a girl that doesn't have any more migraine headaches.
Wow.
And so you can always just consider that thoughtfully. Now,
yes.
I want you to describe her personality to me. In favorable terms.
She's a quiet person, but she, when she's with her friends, she's, you know, talkative and you know,
is she more of a melancholy type?
I would say she's kind of an enigma, because she, when she's with people, she can, you know, converse very well, but she can be by herself, and so she's just kind of an even keeled type person.
Oh, she's,
you know,
like,
never,
she's like,
you know,
me.
Way,
she's
way a, up or way, way down.
She's like me. She's a closet introvert.
Maybe.
No, I'm just teasing about that. Well, one of the things that I think of is I think of the liver, when people have those personalities.
Okay.
And so you can do this any way that you want. Maybe she would do very, very well with just focusing on eating vegetables only with
okay.
Fattier cuts of meat, and that would be things like eggs.
Okay.
And if she want to try that for a few days, just see if some of this resolves. Now, the other stuff is really easy to talk about. I can tell you historically from someone that's read many a scientific article on migraine headaches, I always look for new information. But I would say one of the greatest mineral deficiencies that human beings are going to encounter is probably going to be, magnesium and probably zinc. They're not okay. The only ones. But just like I read that article on the radio a while ago, they measured blood levels of zinc perfectly fine. They measured hair analysis perfectly fine. But when they looked at the aorta, where the plaque was building up, not so good.
Yeah.
And so there may be, I just need to keep an open mind that there may be more to this than what meets the eye.
Right.
And sometimes tests, they don't show you everything that you need, but I know what does show us what she needs. If she says she struggles with sleep and migraine headaches, then I'm going to say, okay, we've got our foot in the door. Let's work on trying to correct that. But natural B vitamins could play a huge role in helping to greatly enhance and improve how her liver functions.
When you say natural, just from natural sources?
Yes, that's the only way that I ever see it work. I mean, if you want to overstimulate her, then yeah, you can go get B-complex at Walmart for $6.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just going to be synthetic B vitamins that are made from coal tar epoxy and oil resins and things like that and other chemicals. But I don't really dig them because I don't think that they ever change the body. They just kind of stimulate you. It's like every time you're tired, you run and grab a Red Bull or a Monster energy drink or something just jam crammed with, you know, all those energy drinks. Guess what they have? Synthetic B vitamins. It does not say on the label this is the new and improved Red Bull that contains nutritional yeast and calf liver extracts and things like that, or vegetables. But if we went more just on a vegetable-based diet, avoiding all grains, eating more fat, I mean, this is truly an anti-inflammatory diet.
Okay.
And so sometimes giving your body a rest from the foods that you like, and I know that we can do this kind of kicking and screaming sometimes because, I mean, I had a woman years ago come to see me with very, very severe headaches and gastrointestinal problems, and she was only drinking 6 Dr. Peppers a day. And
oh, my.
You know what? Sometimes I am not the master communicator. And so I'm a man. I think in black and white. I don't think like a woman does. It would be better if I thought like a woman does. But I just told her, I said, you got to give up the Dr. Peppers. Well, she left my office in a huff. And that is not the first time that's happened. And I was going, I thought you were wanting me to help you. So anyway, she walks in the office a year and a half ago. She said, I did not like what you said a year and a half ago. But I'm going, ma'am, who are you? She said, remember me? It's me. I was here a year and a half ago. No, you're like 80 pounds lighter. She goes, that's because I decided that I had nothing to lose, and about 3 months after I saw you, I decided to give up the sugar, and that's when I lost 70 pounds, and my migraine headaches went away, and my stomach pain. So I'm going,
wow.
Well, anyway, that's a nice end of the story. So we've been friends ever since, but not the first visit.
Not beginning that way.
Well, and, is your husband black and white? Or is he Mr.
Yeah.
Master Communication with the opposite sex?
Yeah, pretty much.
I knew it. Could you ask him if he's busy? Let me see. It's almost 8 o'clock. I could be at your house by 8:15 just to learn from your husband how to communicate with women.
I don't know about that.
You think he would like me to come and just sit at his feet and learn from the master?
He'd be pretty quiet.
Rats. Okay. But you can look at those things right there. But natural B vitamins can be a godsend because what they do is they drastically improve how your liver is able to work more efficiently. I mean,
what about B injections, injectable B?
Well, that's
is that all synthetic.
Yeah, all of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I mean, that's a nice try, but why would you want to do that if it doesn't fix anything?
Yeah. Yeah,
but I can hear when you say when you ask a question like that means you're desperate to give your daughter some relief.
Well, it's ruining her life, and I mean she works for a doctor, and the lights that he's using will trigger the migraines, and instantly she is vomiting
me?
In the bathroom and having to leave her work. And
well, what's happening is she has such severe inflammation of her frontal lobe, or if you want to call it the frontal cortex, it can't even handle a little bit extra light.
Uh-huh.
If I tell her to go outside with me and let's just stare up at the morning sky, she's going to say, no, it's too bright.
Mm-hmm.
But that tells me she's got significant cerebral inflammation. This is a godsend. We now know where the inflammation's coming from. It's coming from the brain. Mm-hmm. Why don't we work at correcting that where she can be around bright lights and have no issues?
Yeah. She's had to drop out of college because of lights triggering.
You know what? This could all... This is really a piece of cake. This is easy to take care of. See, she's so inflamed cerebrally. Do you know what serotonin is?
Yeah.
Serotonin is a neurotransmitter. Probably 95% of it is produced by the enteric nervous system in the small intestine of the gut. But the number one trigger is a hormone called cholecystokinin. That's what tells your gallbladder to contract.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the gallbladder contracts, it pushes bile from the liver and the gallbladder and the intestines, and it helps you absorb nutrients. It also helps carry off all the toxic waste and debris. Very valuable substance. But when she has a triggering migraine headache that makes her want to throw up, she's got too much, you're just telling me, she's got too much back pressure and her liver and gallbladder are clogged up.
Okay.
Now, I would also ask, is she taking birth control pills? Because I can tell you right now, birth control pills can literally, let's put it this way. I know this is a very negative way of saying it, but I'm being honest with you. And if somebody wants to call in and counter what I'm saying, that's fine. I'll entertain any different opinion. But if a young girl her age shows up with a severe blood clot or a stroke at the ER, you can bet your bottom dollar it's a birth control pill that caused that, baby. That is not anything else. And so
she
tell
is
you
not on birth control pills, but I know that she went to a gynecologist about these migraines, and he said, well, let's just eliminate your menstrual cycle completely with birth control. And she did do that for a while, and I was not happy about that, but she is no longer doing that. She has horrible menstrual cycles. She, you know, has excessive bleeding. I mean, she just is, for her age, I just feel like she has so many problems.
We've got to get the liver to do its job, which is to clear excess estrogens. And so you do that by multifactorial, just like I told you earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot clear estrogen easily if you have a zinc or a magnesium deficiency. I mean, I can say this about 50 different ways.
Okay.
But where this is going to take place is within the liver, because if she makes estrogen even a little bit too much, then that's going to stimulate her body to, I mean, a woman came in the other day. She said, yes, I just had a clot that I passed. It was the size of a watermelon. I think she was just exaggerating because that doesn't even make sense. But I believe her.
Uh-huh.
And I believe that her periods are just horrible and atrocious, so we're trying to correct that. So anything that helps downregulate this rapid overexpression of estrogen, we got to help the liver. Otherwise, if I don't do it this way, the way that I'm trying to tell you, I'm just going to be like an OBGYN saying, let's give her massive hormones to shut this sucker down. But we don't ever really fix her and get her in good working order. Now, to encourage you, there's no reason why she can't be a brand new girl in 3 months.
Wow.
There's no reason. Unless if she passes the point of no return, then, that's pretty bad right there. But does she need to have massive endometriosis and have major infertility problems?
Mm.
No, she's just a young babe. She needs to have kids. How many grandbabies do you want?
As many as God gives me. I have 13 so far.
Are you kidding me? 13 grandkids? What's it like to have a grandchild?
And that's not all that's coming, I'm sure. And 10 of them are under 5.
Well, can I ask you a personal question?
Well, I guess.
Just the ones under 5, how many of those can you hold at one time? Can you hold 5 of them?
I try. it doesn't work too well.
Could you send a little video or picture up here to the radio station? Because I really want to see that. That'd be comical.
It is. Oh. But anyway, tell me how much zinc, how much magnesium, how much B should she take?
Well, here's what I can't tell you. I don't even know what you're going to be able to find at the grocery store or the health food store, so you're at the mercy of the manufacturer's recommendations, because I'm familiar with what I'm familiar with, but I can't just arbitrarily tell you. Obviously, we want to use enough to get the job done. That we agree on.
Right.
But if we use natural B vitamins, usually I give a whole lot of them, just because if the liver is just very, very sluggish.
Right.
Okay, I realize this is a different concept I'm giving you. She's alive, she's breathing, so the interpretation is she's perfectly healthy. Okay, I got that. But I want to look at this a different way. I want to find out which system is not working as well as it should.
Okay.
And if the liver is what is very sluggish, we want to try to turn the tide on that. And so you can make it work a lot easier if you avoid sugar.
Okay.
Sugar is about the best way of all time to totally make the liver totally lazy and sluggish.
So we need to avoid sugar, avoid wheat, and
just go with those.
Magnesium.
And, yeah, absolutely.
And the B vitamins.
Yes, and there's a whole lot more we can do, but right now this is a starting point. But I'm just like you are. If she were my daughter, I'd want this resolved ASAP.
Yeah. It's going to ruin her life if we don't get some answers.
Tell me again, how old is she?
She's 26.
She's a babe. I have a 26.
And this has been going on since she was 13. I mean, the lack of sleep has really affected her. And then the migraines are debilitating. And
we're going to find, if a medical doctor examines her and runs blood work, we're probably going to find there's a whole bunch of stuff that's out of whack. And it's just a question of what do we do about this? How do we resolve it?
Mm-hmm.
And I say, to me, that should be the last ditch effort to give her mega doses of drugs to control.
Right. I know there's no answer there.
Well, I wish there were.
Me too.
They would make it real easy. Show up and you can have a 5-minute visit and they can write a prescription for a drug.
Right.
Topamax or something like that. Hey, problem solved. No side effects here. But that's not the way it works.
Right.
I had a young man call me yesterday. He says, I can't sleep. I'm miserable. I'm in misery. And I'm going, are you taking any drugs by chance? He says, no. I said, are you taking anything over the counter? He said, oh, yeah, I'm taking an allergy medication. Well, I said, well, could you just please take a picture of the label and send it to me? You know what the number one side effect is? It's insomnia and irritability and severe emotional agitation. When I started reading... When I got on drugs.com and I looked up this allergy medication, I said, psychiatric events? Well, that doesn't sound good.
No.
Anyway, but he goes, oh, well, no one told me that. I'm going, well, maybe you should reconsider that we don't need to have a mental breakdown here.
Right. Well, I'm excited about what I can tell her about this because she went to the health food store yesterday and was just trying to buy anything to try to help. And,
my real plan for her, I'm going to go to the hardware store today and I'm going to get some chloroform. You've heard me say this before. And I'm going to pour it on a cotton cloth and I'm going to sneak up behind her and she's going to pass out, okay? And
okay.
Then we're going to transport her to some Caribbean island. And the only thing she's going to eat is seafood and fruit and vegetables. There won't be any grains or any sugar at all. But I mean, she was probably born for spearfishing, right?
She would probably love it.
And she can, I mean, if she needs to surf and spearfish at the same time, I mean, I don't see a problem with that personally.
No, she wouldn't either.
Of course, all that salt water and the sunshine, that wouldn't pull toxins out of the body, would it?
I would think maybe it could help.
And maybe it could help.
Oh, she'd love to do that.
Well, you are absolutely the very best mother/grandmother of all time.
Well,
she's a baby. She's your baby, isn't she?
She is. She's the youngest of four.
Well, usually the baby of the family is a really, really funny one.
She is the funniest of the oldest and the youngest are the two funniest.
Well, are there only two?
there's four there, but
four.
The middle two are not as, they're more serious.
Are you kidding? Those are the troublemakers, aren't they?
Oh, they were all troublemakers.
Oh, man. You don't even... You
Every
don't
one
even,
of them.
You do not even know how bad I was as a child. I was bad.
I had some bad kids, too. Believe me, my hair is solid gray.
Woo! Well, I thank you very much for your caring concern about your daughter. She's just 26. The future is real bright for her, but there must be an understanding of what the trigger is, and if we don't have an understanding of where her weaknesses lie, then we can work at this a long time and not get anywhere, which I don't like that plan at all. That's not my plan for her. My plan is for her to be a brand-new person in 3 months and never look back.
Great. Well, I am going to relay the message, and I'm hoping that we get some good help.
Well, thank you very much, ma'am.
Thank you so much for your help.
You're welcome.
Appreciate
Bye-bye.
It. Bye-bye.
All right, there's a few moments left. If you want to call and ask a question, we've got about 4 minutes, give or take. Good morning. Welcome to the last 4.5 minutes.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
How are you?
Pretty good. I've been having problems breathing.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my life thing. But I've been on a keto diet for about 3.5 months, and it's been doing really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started a watermelon fast, and then that didn't do so well with me.
What do you think that is?
I filled my lungs up with junk.
Well, one thing that happens, even doing a pattern interrupt like you did, you went from ketogenic to watermelon. I mean, I couldn't make up this if I wanted to. Your body probably went into a massive detox purging mode, which tells me I'd probably take a step back, and your system just probably cannot handle the flooding of all the toxins and the debris that are coming out of your tissues.
I have to agree with that.
I mean, how many drugs have you had in your lifetime? Prescription, I mean.
Until a few years ago, hardly any, but then after that, I've had a lot. I mean, I was in the hospital for almost 30 days straight.
Well, I tell you what, I am a firm believer that if you've had like a hospital stay, there's probably just endless amounts of drugs and chemicals they put in your body, but that stuff builds up a chemical crystallized residue. And when you do a watermelon fast, that stuff will start to come out. And that's just no fun. I would not wish that on you. Now, if your name was Scott, I might, but not you. I would never try to sabotage you.
All right. So
the reason I said the name Scott is that just sounds like the quintessential masculine, manly name. That's all I meant by that.
I understand.
A fictitious person, not a real person named Scott.
I got you. So my question is, what would be the food and stuff that I could eat that would help turn me back around?
Well, one thing that you could look at is you could try. Do you like avocados, by the way?
Yes. I ate 3 of them last night before I went to sleep.
What? That may be the world record. I bet you anything, you're not going to suffer from severe constipation today, are you?
I hope not.
Yeah, I don't think you will. I think everything is going to be lubed up sufficiently to where it should come out. There's several things that I think of. One of them are high sulfur foods. So if you like radishes and kale and asparagus and broccoli and cabbage may help you more than anything else, though, because it has a high concentration of mucopolysaccharides. And those are very, very soothing when mucus-lined tissues are very inflamed. Another thing that you can start today is just get vegetable-based enzymes or vegetarian enzymes and just take a lot more than what the label says. Take them on an empty stomach. Take them
mean?
In between enzymes.
They'll be called
vegetable or vegetarian digestive enzymes.
Okay.
And those will get into your bloodstream. And they will start dissolving and breaking apart any debris that does not belong in your body. So that could serve a very, very good purpose. The other thing that I would do if it were me, I would sunbathe my lungs. Not to burn you, but I would get some sun on them. It's called heliotherapy. Let the invisible wavelengths of light and the God's radiation treatments heal your lungs. You probably are doing that anyway, aren't you? You probably go outside and sit in the sun and sweat and sunbathe every day, don't you?
No, but I do try to go outside and get sun quite often.
Can you wear a nice tank top and let it just kind of work on your lungs?
Yes, actually, I can.
Well, do that and see if we don't have a whole different ball of wax by the end of the day. And the other thing that you could do is just take some activated charcoal on an empty stomach to see if it absorbs some of that waste.
All right. And also, how soon should I go back to keto?
What'd you say?
How soon should I go back to my keto diet?
You should be able to go back pretty quick.
Okay, great.
But just try this for 3 days and let me know what happens.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, man. Bye-bye. All right, you're listening to Health Essentials on KBGS FM 90.3.